Ice cold beer!
Popcorn, peanuts, Cracker Jack.
I know what the big deal about Cracker Jack is. Did you ever go and buy a pack of Cracker Jack thinking you'd get a prize and find no prize in the box?
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
To the ball game, take me out to the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back, we'll root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 1, 2, 3 strikes you out at the old ball game.
All right, welcome back to the Bench Jockeys here on 101.5 UMFM. I'm Michael Elves, joined from a safe distance by my pal Brian Svensson.
Hey, hi, howdy.
And on the bullpen phone, Chris Zook.
Even a safer distance away.
Yeah, I was going to say you were so quiet there. I was like, wow, you even put a little extra distance from the mic.
Sorry about that.
So the hot stove in terms of signings continues to be pretty lukewarm. We do have some stuff.
Oh, I think you're being kind there. That's
it's tepid. What's it's the water is like room temperature on the stove. But in the wake of the Francisco Lindor trade, Brian has brought it to our attention about the Jays having maybe a sweeter offer than the Mets did and getting turned down.
Yeah, so MLB Network contributor and writer Anthony Castrovince.
I think
I've never actually heard his name pronounced. I only read his stuff because it's pretty good. He wrote a book called "A Fan's Guide to Baseball Analytics." He tweeted on January 8th, "For what it's worth, Blue Jays were runner-up for Francisco Lindor. Don't know the specific players, but I'm told their offer had what is a higher ceiling, yet was centered on long-term prospects. Cleveland chose the package from the Mets because it balanced short and long-term help. My opinion, this approach would only make sense if Cleveland is serious about reinvesting a significant amount of the Lindor-Carrasco trade dollars savings on talent that can help in 2021. Now, I mean, it just means to me that, like, I don't have to be unhappy about what the Jays did to try and get Lindor. That being said, what the heck is Cleveland doing?
Okay.
Like, hold on. What a mess.
Hold on one second here. I'm gonna say, well, first of all, do we even know if this is true?
And even Pastor Vince is not telling tales out of school. He's not known for that.
Yeah, I hate to say this, but it wouldn't be the first time that that organizations have fed something to a reporter that isn't, that makes them look better. And I'll be honest here too. The Jays second place is zero.
Yeah, like it sucks. I mean, it shows me that they're willing to go out there and do stuff. And sure, I'm fine
that's
with that.
I'm going to be the cynic about this and say,
well, cause you're always the cynic about everything that isn't Expos.
Exactly. But I'm just going to, well, let's say this organization, likes to puff up and say, hey, we're going to be in this, we're going to do these things. And then they never really, this got backed up by a couple other reputable sources
that said that the Jays offered, but they still didn't get them, right?
So, I mean, that's the problem is,
that's not due to the Jays not offering a competitive good offer. That's due to Cleveland being a terribly run franchise.
Well, I mean, time will have to tell if any of that bores out. I mean, Cleveland has to run their franchise and the Jays have to run theirs. And, you know,
right.
I
but
mean,
what the are to answer his questions, are Cleveland going to reinvest that money?
Probably not.
Okay. So why would you take worse prospects in order to not compete?
But their
this year?
Analytics, I don't know, maybe their analytics looks differently on what the Jays offer.
Cleveland are
going to
be
Mets
bad
did.
This year. Can we agree on that? Cleveland are going to be not just bad,
be,
really
gonna
bad
be
this year.
Epically bad. They're going to be like
really
Detroit
bad.
Tigers bad. Yes. They're going to be at the bottom of that. I'm just saying is that it sucks because in any trades, you know, when the fan base, you know, I mean, it would have been nice if they would have got them. If they had a competitive offer, that's fantastic. But at the end of the day, and there's factors that we might not know about, right? We just,
of course.
I mean, it's on the paper and stuff. Yeah, sure. I mean, I'm just saying it sounds a little, I don't know. Yes, the cynic in me says that the Jays are also covering themselves a bit because they know there's some
probably
pressure
a little
on
bit.
That on that organization, right, is to do something this offseason. And so far they haven't. And now, again, they're not the only team that hasn't done anything in the offseason. A lot of teams haven't either. But the
Jays they just,
are sort of there.
They just re-signed Shapiro to a five-year extension. Oh, it means goodness. That they have trust in the vision that he has. And I mean, I have trust in the vision that he has, and all of this reporting shows me that they are willing to go above and beyond to try and get players.
I love that you drink the Kool-Aid there, Brian. I love it. I love it.
It's showing me that they're actually willing to try and go out there and get players. It's not their fault that Cleveland accepted a subpar offer. It's not.
They have. Okay. So here's the thing. When we get to the end of training camp, right? The Jays have to do something. And I know, right, they can't control everything. But in the free agent market or something, don't they have to do something that's going to help their roster to get them farther ahead
than
they
were I would like them to, of course. Obviously, I would love them to. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to happen, right? Like, there's a lot of things that are probably out of their control. And, you know, in this case, like they sent in
I don't know if you get them, I don't know if you get them a participation badge just because.
No, but I mean, like they can't control that. The point is they can't control everything.
I totally get it. I'm just saying is, you know, Lindor is still going to be playing for the Mets this year, not for the Jays. And that's unfortunate.
And it sucks. And I'm unhappy about that.
No doubt.
It sucks. And I'm unhappy about that. I am, but you know,
so I think the bigger question becomes, I think you said this off air, and so I was just going to, and Jared's not around for that, but we were calling them kind of the Lindors, so what would be the name now of the Cleveland baseball team?
Well, I mean, they are the Cleveland baseball team until they pick a new name, right?
Right, but, you know, we don't have another nickname for them.
The Titos?
The Titos. That's not bad. I like Tito.
Of course you like Tito. He played for the Expos.
Showing your cards.
Of course you like Tito. He played for the Expos.
Oh my goodness. I he might have. I mean, it's hard to say. I'd have to look that up.
We'll just call him Cleveland for now.
That works for me.
The Dreadful Dolans?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe.
So I mentioned this last week, and I will keep mentioning this until someone is more like, I read something this week that it was something like 80% of the free agents are still out there.
88%.
Right? 88, something like that.
I mean, that might have changed since.
Sure. So let's say it's down to 85.
Right.
Because
I think Alex Wood signed today. Archie Bradley signed today. And Liam Hendricks signed yesterday, all since the.
So before we get there, but I mean, there's still, I mean, because it sounds like baseball wants to do 162 schedule this year, right? Like COVID, whatever, right? That they're going to go ahead
Rob
with
says.
This. That's what he says, right? So isn't that supposed to unleash the free market now saying, okay, we're going to play these games. They're going to get their they're going to get their baseball money through TV, right? If it's not at the gates, we're still
no.
Gonna
they're gonna
of,
they're going to put people in stands.
Sure, okay,
dude.
Sure. But I'm just saying is
where, yeah, where they can, they, which, they whichever be, states they can.
Be complaining right. about poverty here, right? That's my point is that.
Oh, yeah.
Right. That these guys claimed last year, which again is dubious at best because we never see the books, but they got a lot of money anyway. They weren't poor, right? But they've also cut back a lot this year in the offseason, right? About the minor leagues. A lot of the MLB franchise have organizations cut their staff, right? To save some costs. So it's they're going to make money this year, right? So when does the free agent market start opening up here?
The argument about the making money, I know Brian, you listen to Tipping Pitches.
Yes.
Did you listen to the one with Rob Maines from Baseball Prospectus?
No.
Okay, so he is a writer at Baseball Prospectus who
this
comes
recently.
January 5th.
Okay.
He was a financial analyst on Wall Street who then became a writer, a baseball writer, and so he comes at it from like business and an analysis
nice.
Side of things, and so they had him on to talk about baseball as a business and how owners show their cards and whether or not there's a better version of private ownership of ball clubs. And so he talks about, you know, that because of baseball being a monopoly, it doesn't have to necessarily show its books, but based on information gleaned from Forbes for their, you know, valuations of clubs and things like that. Yes, they didn't make, they lost money they would have expected to make last year, but they didn't necessarily lose money. That this
wasn't the Braves books are open too. They're the only publicly traded club in Major League Baseball. And the Braves lost money on the year, but made money when they were playing baseball, even without fans. They only lost money when they weren't playing. They lost money in quarters.
Yeah, it was a very nominal. If anyone lost, it was not a lot. It wasn't the money that they thought that they proclaimed at the end of the season.
Well, right. So if you look at
were such a hard season and we barely got through it. And, you know, woe was me and stuff. And these guys.
But they drastically slashed some of their costs. And the players were paid at a pro rata, you know, like based on how many games they played. So it wasn't like they owed them, you know, the contract for 162 games, but only at, you know, the revenue of broadcasting, you know, the shortened season. You know, they obviously didn't have to spend on a lot of kind of like facilities and marketing and other things that like would normally kind of be associated. And so like I would really recommend people listen to the entire episode, but the argument that he fundamentally makes is, you know, baseball owners treat this as something where they have like an expectation of profit every year, and that business is not necessarily predicated on that, that, you know, there are going to be lean years and there are going to be like boon years.
Of course.
And that they're like crying poverty is a specious argument in a business because they do not behave as a normal business.
Right. And what I read is that they then use that excuse to do massive cuts, be it in the minor leagues, plus also at the major league level, where they've always been trying to, you know, be more efficient to keep the bottom line as healthy as possible. Right. And now, so sort of what I read is that, you know, the scouting divisions are being cut back and they're going to try and do more automated or analytics that you know, so that they have more profit margin. And so this goes back to the biggest, you know, the whole thing about baseball is that they just, despite themselves, somehow this sport just keeps on going. But last year, you know, yeah, I'm sure they didn't make the profit they were going to project it, but they still, you know, at bare minimum on a pretty much a half a season, they still did pretty well considering all of what the whole world went through.
Well, okay. So
year.
Again, like if they did actually, based on what the Braves books were, they did actually lose money on the year, but they made money while they were playing baseball. Like they weren't losing money while they were players on the field. They lost money, a catastrophic amount of money in the 2 quarters that they were not playing baseball in, but they made stupid money hand over fist when they were playing. have to look at the numbers again and please correct me if I'm wrong, but they lost 8 million in the first quarter. They lost 12 million in the second quarter. And I think that they made 13 or 14 million in quarter three. So they turned a net loss on the year, but it was a minuscule, and to the point that like billionaires should be able to take that kind of loss. Like we're talking about a loss in the single digit millions, and be even without fans in the stands, the Braves made money hand over fist while there were players on the field playing baseball. And I think that's important to note.
Also important to note, as we talked about, is just how many like of the free agents remain unsigned at this point, right? That this, and like, we've seen this year over year now, and that the names merit pretty sizable deals and interest from a lot of teams, and yet, you know, like kind of crickets right now. This is not a hot stove.
No, this is not even the stove, right? This is, you know, where it's like a microwave right now. There's nothing, right? It's actually a fridge. It's more of a fridge or a freezer, right? There's not much. They're freezing out the players here, right? They're time's on their side, because eventually some of these players are going to have to sign. That said, I will say I was surprised by the Liam Hendricks signing, right? Like,
the White Sox are doing good business.
But that's a good deal for Liam as well, right? Like, I mean, that's
for sure. Yeah,
$45 million guaranteed, mm-hmm. and you know, in a market where closers, you know, I think the perception is, you know, you don't want to spend too much on it now because we're doing the bullpen thing and all that stuff. But there again, you know, so someone is going to make a little bit of money.
You hear about Andy Martino of SNY talking about the Mets and pursuit of Brad Hand, but that hoping to get him for less than $10 million for a 1-year deal.
Right.
You know, significantly less than Hendricks money.
And I know the Blue Jays was kicking that tires too. Originally was
one of the thoughts. I mean,
but of course you're not going to pay. Like, I mean, the White Sox. I mean, that what they're doing, kind of like what the Padres are doing, is they're going all in, right? I mean, get worried here, Michael, because it's going to be a good battle this year with the Twinkies, right? Because they are loaded, right? That lineup is pretty loaded now, right? It was pretty much last year, but now they're just added to it. And hey, if someone wants to spend in this market, you can get a lot of good players.
Yeah,
this is the thing. You're seeing some clubs like the Padres
just going out there and really going for it.
Like, we're gonna do this.
Yep.
So speaking of that, did this? I think it came out today or yesterday about Blake Snell. Did anyone read that as comics about the Game 6 situation?
No, I actually haven't.
So what I read today was that he basically said that they gave away the World Series, right? And it's still lingering there, right? No, this is his perception, right? He's the pitcher, right? And he said when he saw that they had pitchers up in the bullpen, he kind of started losing his focus a bit, gave up a hit or whatever, and he knew he was going to get pulled. And, you know, I mean, hey, this guy, you know, I mean, that's his perspective, right? I mean, you can agree to disagree, but he's on the mound. He's thinking that. And it's pretty interesting just that, you know, that was basically his last pitch for the Rays, right? And that he's gone on to the Padres there. And I get it, right? I mean, hey, they were close, right? He feels that they could have won that game and then maybe still won the World Series, right? So, I mean, it's just, I mean, hey, if you're that close, I get that it still lingers for him. I just thought it was interesting that, I guess, you know, finally that he's out of the organization, he could talk maybe a little more freely about it or his own perspective. But, you know, I mean, and then, you know, now he's with the Padres. So he might have a shot to avenge that in the same division against the Dodgers next year.
And interestingly, the Giants making some moves. That you mentioned Alex Wood, signed to a 1-year contract.
Yeah, the Giants always kind of do weird stuff like this, though, where they're like content, they're trying to do well,
they're in the middle,
not
they're,
trying to do well,
they're in the mix and trying to like play spoiler in that West. But you know, I mean, what I found interesting about this is, so the Giants president of baseball operations is Farhan Zaidi, and he was the LA GM previously in Wood's career,
right?
And so, just curious as to like his decision to reacquire him under the Giants umbrella. And, you know, like, I mean, certain execs have like certain guys that are their guys.
Sure.
But you
I mean,
know,
we're all having, like that even in fantasy, right?
Oh yeah. But having had the opportunity to have this guy on the Dodgers now, you know, playing against the Dodgers in division, to then seek out this guy who was just on the World Series winning team and pitched pretty well in the postseason. Obviously he didn't have the greatest in the shortened season, but you know, in the postseason was pretty solid and seemed to kind of be back to, you know, what he had been when he was with Atlanta, for instance.
I mean, I'm gonna just say this straight up is but if we're talking about Alex Wood as the big
this is the thing, right? Like, you know, we're kind of forced to talk about
really stretching it,
Archie Bradley.
Yeah, I mean, which, but this is like, it. This is it, right? Like, yep. This is all that's right out there right now. I mean, you keep hearing, like, you know, what the trades of it more is more on the forefront. Like, Chris Bryant is still being talked about as maybe being moved.
I'm still stunned.
We haven't talked about, Schwarber signed with Washington.
Oh, yeah, we didn't talk about that. I love Schwarbs. I think this is...
I mean, it could be a new change of a new scenery, right? Could help him a bit. Obviously, he struggled the last little while there, and so maybe
he's just good. Kyle Schwarber is just good. That being said, I'm really disappointed in him for his own career path that he didn't go to an AL club team. He cannot field. The man cannot field. He's really bad at fielding, and it completely kills his value.
Now, would this also be predicated about the DH rule, that if it gets changed?
Sure, but you make plans for this season. You're not signing Kyle Schwarber to, I think, a one-year deal?
Yeah, it's just a one-year deal. So
you're not signing him. They're not. I think they said that there's no DH this year.
I know. That's what I was curious about. I don't think we've heard either way yet. Am I correct about that? Like, they haven't made a final decision?
I mean, you could be right. You could be right.
I thought that I think they're still floating that out there because
if there's universal DH, that's an incredible signing for Washington. If there isn't a universal DH, then I don't know where they fit him in.
Because also, if I'm not mistaken, MLB hasn't come out about the playoffs as well, right? Is it going to go revert back, or is it going to be sort of what they did last year, right? So I think there are a couple of issues still up in the air that haven't been decided for this upcoming year. And the DH is a big one, right? Because exactly, right? If you're doing universal DH, well, the NL clubs, well, they can, you know, that's an extra bat.
Yeah, exactly. But if there's universal DH, incredible signing by the Nats. If there isn't universal DH, then I don't know what the heck they're doing, because where does he play?
Can he play first?
Well, aren't they bringing back Zimmerman?
Well, I know. I'm just saying, just to hide him, right? That, like, usually you put kind of first base as if a guy can't play in the field.
He used to catch.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I don't know.
But, you know, do you move Juan Soto over to right then? And put Schwarber in left?
I guess that's a possibility.
Because that's what I don't know, right?
Well, I guess with the questions around swirling around that universal DH and what the postseason will look like this year, that might bring us to our last little bit of news. And this is, I was reading a piece on The Athletic by Asadev Sharma about Theo Epstein's new role.
Oh, yeah.
So obviously he stepped down as president of baseball operation for the Cubs. And there has been, you know, rumors swirling that he'd eventually like to own a team. But there aren't any teams for sale other than the Mets that just got bought. And he certainly didn't have Steve Cohen money. But he is taking on a role as a consultant to Commissioner Rob Manfred regarding on-field matters around the competition committee and to improve the on-field product. And I mean, after, you know, rescuing two different historically, shall we say, troubled franchises in the Cubs and the Red Sox, wouldn't it be great if Theo somehow managed to do the same thing to baseball as a whole?
Are you saying he's going to be the next commissioner? Because I could sign up for that.
Manfred's going to be there for a while, so maybe.
Yeah, I don't see.
But I mean, it's so far down the line that we don't know.
But at the very least, you know, helping suss out some of these things like the DH, and then, you know, conceivably figuring out ways to make sure that the game appeals to a younger crowd, or that the, you know.
Well, in his comments, he seems to be on the same page as me regarding replay. He seems to not enjoy replay as a institution.
So what does that mean?
Well, he just doesn't think it helps the enjoyment of the sport, which it really doesn't. I mean, it's...
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, honestly, is that the pressing issue in baseball? Like, is it, you know...
It's a pace of play thing.
Sure, I get that, but and I that, think it's I mean, not that's that the thing bad.
Is if he's able to bring...
Yeah, I get that. I think it's more about, like, I think it's more, I think the bigger thing that we always talk about is, how do you grow the game? How do you get more people to the younger generation to buy into this game a bit more, right? And to market these players, which we can constantly carp about, but it's true. Like, these players have, I mean, geez, you know, like, people should know more about the players that we talk about every week.
Yes.
Like, that's just end of story, right? Like, they just, like, let me just get an example, right? Let's just, the NBA is the king right now, other than NFL. But I mean, that's your drama every time it goes. They just had a huge trade again, right?
I mean, the argument about that is that people care more about the movement than the actual game. They care about the narrative a bit.
The whole narrative, but they bought into the players, that they care where they go, what they're doing. I'm just saying, they're just not that. There's a bit of a disconnect, right?
Sure.
We're not the people they want to get. We're there. We're sold already on this, right? I'm just talking about the people that the casual to the people in between, that they could stay and grow the next generation. That's sort of what, you know, I mean, and yeah, I mean, it's part, you know, the players have to come into, you know, Mike Trout's not going to be out there regardless if they put hundreds of millions of dollars in a marketing campaign for Mike Trout. Mike Trout's just not that player, right? He's not, you know, he's not a great player, but he's not necessarily an engaging personality. He's not someone who's gregarious.
Well, I think that Lindor in New York is big.
He's going to help. Yeah.
Big deal.
But, you know, but someone like Tatis, right? Like, you know, the Padres, we've constantly talked about this, right? That's a huge star there. He's in California, right? It's not LA, but, you know, Mookie Betts or stuff like that, right?
Those are big deals too.
Those are huge deals, right? And these guys should be having, I mean, I don't know, candy bars, the podcast, TV shows, whatever, right?
And not just the Ross Stripling stocks podcast,
right?
No, it should be like,
but, I mean, hey, if it's a positive
TikTok accounts and things,
yeah, whatever it is.
Well,
right?
Yasiel Puig, our boy, he's got a TikTok account.
I'm gonna probably pass on that.
Why?
Well, I don't understand. Well, we'll see. What would he be talking about?
Yasiel Puig things.
Yeah, exactly. Well, no, I mean, hey, yes. I mean, that's a positive if he can help out, you know, if he can help out.
Well, apparently he might end up on the Yankees. So there you go. There's a big fiery personality and a big fiery market.
Wow. See, well, that would help. Sure. That would, I mean, that, I'm not saying just to generate just for the sake of clicks and likes, but
no, this is just a subject we've like beat into the ground though. We know because they're not doing it. We know though.
If Theo could kind of, you know, as that's part of, you know, different ways to improve the game, sure, I'm all for that. I mean, yeah, there's 100 different, you know, you could list the laundry list, right? But yeah, if someone hopefully is listening, that would be as nice as well, not just the lip service, right?
Well, tall dreams there, Zook, tall dreams.
We'll leave with those dreams. As I look at the clock here, we should hand things over, but I guess we'll keep an eye on that deep freeze. We'll keep opening the door and hoping when we open it up, some of those frozen vegetables will start to warm up or something.
Maybe the Blue Jays, you know, they have a little Jiffy Pop going there.
Listen, I'm not counting on it right now, but
Springer. I'm going to say Springer. That's my hot take there. That somehow they get Springer. That would be amazing.
Well, we'll have to. If things get hot, we'll have to definitely.
Cool it's either Jerry Brian or George, on that one or the other.
Jerry.
All right. Well, with that, we will leave you. Thanks for tuning into the Bed Shuck. He's here on 101.5. We'll be back next Friday. Don't forget to tune into the Pity Party at 1 p.m.
It's gonna be good. It's gonna be a good show. I got a feeling.
He's got a feeling. That's good. The host has a feeling it's gonna be a good show.
Hey, they're not always good. They're mostly good, but they're not always good, you know.
All right.
That's why it's a pity party.
Strike three, you're out!